Somebody throw some water on those hands. There's got to be smoke coming off of them. Amen. Thank you, Larry. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Am I on, guys? I got everything turned on? Good. I want to make sure. This morning, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I shared with my wife that my message was 7 points long. And she responded, "Well, I hope no one's got noon reservations anywhere." But it won't take us that long. We'll be out by next week, no problem. You know, I welcome you this morning as those who have the spiritual hope that is founded on the impossible premise that a dead man not only can, but did rise from the grave. Christianity was founded on the resurrection of Christ from among the dead. It is the central reality of what it means to be a Christian. And so let me give you quickly just a sample of what great Christians from the past have said about this truth. Martin Luther, the great reformer, wrote these words. He said, "In the bonds of death he lay, who for our offense was slain. But the Lord is risen today. Christ hath brought us life again. Wherefore, let us rejoice, singing aloud with cheerful voice. Alleluia. The tomb is empty." Eric Sauer, theologian of yesteryear, wrote this. He said, "The cross is the victory, the resurrection, the triumph. The resurrection is the public display of the victory, the triumph of the crucified one over the grave." Peter Marshall said, "The stone was rolled away from the door, not to permit Christ to come out, but to enable his disciples to go in." Chuck Swindoll said this. He said, "The benefits of the resurrection are innumerable. To list a few, our illnesses don't seem so final. Our fears fade and lose their grip on our hearts. Our grief over those who have gone on before us is diminished. Our desires to press on in spite of the obstacles is rejuvenated. Our identity as Christians is strengthened as we stand in the lengthening shadows of saints down through the centuries who have always answered back in the antiphonal voice, 'He is risen indeed.'" Henry Schaeffer, professor of chemistry and biology at the University of Georgia, writing on the resurrection, said, "If Jesus had remained dead, how can you explain the reality of the Christian church and its phenomenal growth over the first 3 centuries of the Christian era? Christ's church covered the Western world by the 4th century. A religious movement built on a lie could never have accomplished that. All the power in Rome and of the religious establishment in Jerusalem was geared up to stop the Christian faith. All they had to do was to dig up the grave and present the corpse of Jesus Christ. The fact that they didn't or couldn't should speak volumes." Anthony Flew, at one time the world's greatest known atheist, who late in life became a theist, and there are those who hope that he became a Christian before his death who knew him, wrote this about the resurrection. He said, "The evidence for the resurrection is better than for claimed miracles of any other religion. It is outstandingly different in both quality and quantity." And Peter Kreef said this. He said, "Why would the apostles lie? Liars always lie for selfish reasons. If they lied, what was their motive? What did they get out of it? What they got out of it was misunderstanding, rejection, persecution, torture, and martyrdom. Hardly a list of perks for telling a lie." Malcolm Muggeridge, the great British journalist who came to faith late in life, said that the resurrection happened seems to me indubitably true. Either Jesus never was or he still is. With the utmost certainty, I now assert he still is. And these quotes are but a few of the thousands of quotes in history about the importance of the resurrection for the Christian faith. Christianity stands on the historical facts of the resurrection. And this morning, I want you to know why the resurrection is really a big deal. The resurrection matters more than any other single event in history. And this morning, I want to give you 7 reasons why the resurrection matters, straight from 1 Corinthians 15. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of speaking your word this morning and now by the grace of God. Would you do in our midst what only you can do? Would that power that raised Jesus from the dead, that resurrection power flow in this service, that people's hearts may be warm, that their lives may be changed, that their walk may be strengthened, that those who do not know the King of Kings and Lord of Lords might come to know him as Master and Savior and Lord. And Father, may you do this service what only you can do, and that is to glorify yourself by the power of the Spirit in the people of God. For as this is, we ask in the name of the resurrected one, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Why does the resurrection matter? The resurrection matters because without it, death is stronger than life. Without it, death is stronger than life. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll look at verse 13 together. Paul writing in verse 13 says, therefore let him... Sorry, I got the wrong passage. I'm in passage 14. I'll move over one chapter, so we'll be on the same page. 1 Corinthians 15, there we go, verse 13. Paul says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. What would it mean that death is stronger than life? Well, it would mean that the Old Testament scriptures were untrue. For Job, maybe in writing in the oldest book of the Bible, says this in chapter 19, verses 23 through 26. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. That they were engraved on a rock with an iron pen and lead forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand on the last on the earth. Now listen to this phrase. And after my skin is destroyed, I know that in my flesh I shall see God. The resurrection of the body from the dead in Christ was foretold even at the very beginning of the Old Testament scriptures, that it is the hope of all who have believed in God that death will be overcome. And if there is no resurrection of Jesus from the dead to authenticate that truth, then the Old Testament is not to be believed. But not only the Old Testament must be rejected, but the testimony of the New Testament must be considered false. For listen to Luke 24. Jesus speaking says, behold, my hands and my feet. That is, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe, for joy and marvel, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate in their presence. Jesus was pointing out that he had bodily come forth from the tomb. And if the dead are not raised, then the New Testament picture of Jesus being the resurrected one is false. Thirdly, if there is no resurrection from the dead, there is no justice in this world whatsoever. There is no justice in this world whatsoever, for there is no difference between the saint and the sinner. There is no difference between the martyr and the persecutor. There is no difference between the Jews who died in ovens and the Nazis who put them in there. Because the resurrection proves that God is a just God and that he will grant life to those who believe in him. And fourthly, if there's no resurrection, if this life is all there is, there's no reason to live for anything other than yourself. There's no reason to live for good and for what is right, to deny yourself, to do anything, but to live as a selfish individual in this world, seeking only your own good and your own gain. And many people have tried to live this way, as if the end of life does not matter. David Hume, the famous Scottish skeptic, he didn't call himself an atheist, but his writings certainly betray that spirit, said, at last, on his own deathbed, he cried, I am in flames. And those who watched him die described it as a horrible scene. Voltaire, the famous French skeptic, says, I am abandoned by God and man. I will give half of what I am worth if you will give me 6 months' life He said this to his doctor, Fauchin, who told him that nothing could be done. And Voltaire said, Then I shall die and go to hell. And his death was terrible. The nurse who attended him at the end said these words. She said, "For all the money in Europe, I would not see another unbeliever die." All night long, he cried out for forgiveness. Sir Thomas Scott said these words, "Until this moment, I thought there was neither a God nor a hell. Now I know and feel that there are both, and I am doomed to perdition by the just judgment of the Almighty." The resurrection reminds us that this life is not all that there is, and that this life must be lived differently because of an empty tomb. Secondly, the resurrection matters because without it, there would be no good news. Listen to the second half of verse 13 and following. Again, the Apostle Paul writes, he said, If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith is also empty, verse 14. The primary message of the scriptures is the good news that Jesus had conquered the grave. Listen to Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2. He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified him and put him to death." Look at verse 31. "But he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which you all are witnesses." The good news of the gospel is that the payment that was made on Good Friday on Calvary was accepted by God, and therefore the resurrection is proof that God has accepted the payment. Therefore, it is good news that we can have hope, that we can have life, eternal life in Him who has conquered the grave. Without the resurrection, there would be no good news from the graveyard. There would be only bad news. Billy Graham, in his autobiography, Just As I Am, tells the most amazing conversation between himself and what I believe is the greatest modern statesman and chancellor of Germany, Konrad Adenauer. The time was sometime between 1945 and 46. The place was in the office of the chancellor, where if you looked outside his window, you could still see the vast destruction that an atheistic madman had brought to a nation who followed him. Here was the conversation as Dr. Graham recalled it. He says, "Ever more memorable was German Chancellor Konrad Adenauer. One time when I was preaching in Germany, he invited me to his office. Coffee was served, but before I could take my first sip, he started in. He said, 'Young man, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ?' 'I most certainly do,' I replied. 'So do I. If Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, there is not one glimmer of hope at all for the human race. When I leave office, I'm going to spend the rest of my life studying and writing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is the most important event in all of history. The resurrection means there's good news from the graveyard." Point number three, the resurrection matters because faith in Jesus would have no purpose otherwise. Faith in Christ would have no purpose if there's no resurrection. Look at again in verse 14. I says 13, see, but it's actually 14. "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith also is empty." The word translated empty or vain means to have no real purpose whatsoever. Imagine for a minute, without the resurrection, there is no purpose. There's no purpose in life. There's no purpose in morality. There's no purpose in ethics. There's no purpose in dying. There's no purpose for living. And there's no purpose for faith, period. Life would be one constant description of trying to give yourself reasons why you should just go on and not end it all. The resurrection matters because faith in Jesus otherwise has no purpose. It just becomes a fairy tale. It just becomes one of the myths that they talk about God's dying and rising. It becomes nothing more than what the Greeks taught, nothing more than what the mystery religions taught. But the resurrection from Jesus of Jesus Christ from the dead proves that life has purpose after all. And therefore it matters that he be raised from the dead. Think of the foolishness of having to write this. The Corinthians believed in the resurrection and placed their faith in Christ, and now for some reason they're starting to deny the very foundation of which their faith rests. Paul says, if he's not raised from the dead, then faith in him serves no purpose whatsoever. Point number four. I told you this would go fast. I have early reservations too. Just joking. The resurrection matters because without it, all preaching would be without truth. All preaching would be without truth. Beloved, if there's no resurrection, then no matter what I say, it has no foundation. No matter how well I say it, it makes no difference. In fact, you would be better served playing golf on the golf course, because at least then you wouldn't have to sit and listen to someone spout non-truths. Look at Paul's statement. He says, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. The resurrection matters because without it, all preaching would be without truth. If the resurrection is not true, no matter what is said, it would be false. No matter if it's couched in the most beautiful of languages, it would be false for two reasons. One, it would be false because we would know that God did not accept the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We would know that all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the process of Holy Week would have been unacceptable to God Almighty. And secondly, we would know that God does not raise the dead at all. That death, as we said in point one, in fact wins in the end. And that would mean that God does not have the power to raise the dead. Any lie is at its heart a distortion of reality and truth. When one repeats something without knowing whether it is true, it is merely repeating someone else's error innocently. However, proclaiming something you know to be a lie, particularly when the lie involves the very person and character of God, is making yourself the source of all of the error that follows after. If I'm preaching the resurrection from the dead and the dead do not rise, then all the people that I'm influencing by preaching at this time, I am propounding and confounding and creating more error in their lives than anything else I could do. I would be the source. And here is the ultimate thing. I would be a blasphemer because I would be saying that God has done something he has not done. The resurrection matters because without it, all proclamation concerning Easter or Christianity would be based on a lie. Number five, I'm going to say it this way. I didn't put this down, but just write this down. And finally, we would know that Jesus Christ himself was ultimately a liar, because he himself said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. If God does not raise people from the dead, then Jesus told the biggest whopper in all of history. The resurrection matters because without it, all forgiveness would be an illusion. The resurrection matters because without it, all forgiveness would be an illusion. Look at verse 17. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. That is, it's empty, it's worthless, and you're still in your sins. There are at least three disastrous consequences that happen for people without the resurrection. The first would be that Jesus is still dead. That in itself would be a reason to be greatly perplexed. Or in verse 16 it says, in fact, the dead do not rise, that means Christ did not rise and Jesus is dead. The second disastrous consequence would be that all faith would be an illusion. It would be whistling in the graveyard. It would be trying to convince yourself that somehow that life has meaning and purpose. And number three, Paul says in verse 17, we're still in our sins. We would still be under God's wrath if there's no resurrection. We would still be separated from God. We would still be sinners, and we would still be at war with God. We would have no relationship with God. God, we could not call him Father, and he would never deign to call us his children. We would be eternally separated if there's no resurrection, because the resurrection proves the Father will call us children by faith in Jesus Christ. It is incredibly important. Number six, the resurrection matters because without it, there is no hope for those who have died believing in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. Paul says, Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. They're not in heaven with the Master. They have perished. Every saint who ever died in the faith does not live. They are eternally dead, eternally perishing, separated from God and from us forever. Everyone that we've ever loved who's died in the faith that we believe we will see again is forever lost, and there's no way that we will ever see them again. The grave would be the greatest tragedy of all, and every martyr who ever died believing died a foolish and futile death if there is no resurrection. In fact, the first martyr would have been Jesus himself. And anyone who professes faith in him would have followed along the same lines. They would have died hoping in nothing more than an illusion. And instead of seeing life eternal, they would have perished in the grave. Number seven. Say, boy, this is not a real good Easter sermon. Wait a minute, it's getting better, trust me. The resurrection matters, because without the resurrection, no sacrifice has any real meaning. No sacrifice for God or for others has any real meaning. If there's no resurrection, there really is no nobility in serving others. You should seek to have others serve you. If there's no resurrection, there is no reason to sacrifice for others. Why should you sacrifice for someone else when God would take no note of it? If there's no resurrection, there is no blessing in denying your sin nature. You should eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die, and that is it. Why does the resurrection matter? I hope in these 7 points you see how incredibly important the reality of the resurrection of Jesus from amongst the corpse really is in all of history. Without it, there is no hope in this world, nor in the world which is to come. But the resurrection matters. And all these 7 things are true according to the Apostle Paul. But look at verse 20. And we're going to close here. Look at verse 20. But now. This word, but, is a great little word. It is the strongest word that Paul can use in construction to break with the previous thought. He tries to remind the Corinthians how foolish being a believer would be without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he kind of puts them in a corner to where they have no out but to say, yeah, that would really be stupid if someone didn't believe in the resurrection. Wait a minute, that would be us. We really need to re-examine ourselves. And then he uses great construction. He says, But now, completely breaking with his other thought, he wants to point to the reality of the resurrection. He says, but now, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. The picture is beautiful. Paul says, Jesus Christ rose like the first fruits offerings of the Old Testament. When God commanded the Old Testament believers to give a first fruits offering, it was an offering that was always given in faith, because you farmers know, usually the first part of your crop is the best part of your crop. It usually has the highest yield. So God says to the Israelite people, he says, here's what I want you to understand. You give me your best, and I'll promise you this, there'll be more. You give the first fruits offering in faith, and there'll be more to follow. And Paul says that God in Christ did just that. He paid sin's penalty. He went into the earth for 3 days, and he rose as that first fruits offering. He came forth saying this, I am the first from among the dead, but I'm not the last. I am the first picture of what it's going to be like on that great resurrection morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, and we who are alive in him shall be caught up together with him and there forever be with the Lord. This Easter Sunday, Christ has risen from the dead, and his resurrection means your resurrection is sure. That means your hope for life after death is real. That means those loved ones who've gone on before you, who've died in the faith, they are going to experience the resurrection from the dead, just like Jesus did. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. Eric Sauer had these words to say. He said, you know, this present age is Easter time. It begins with the resurrection of the Redeemer, and it ends with the resurrection of the redeemed. Between lies that spiritual resurrection of those called into life through Jesus Christ. So we live between two Easters, and the power of the first Easter allows us to go to meet the last Easter. The power of the first resurrection from the dead is the same power that will assure the last resurrection from the dead. It will assure my resurrection from the dead. It will assure your resurrection from the dead. It will assure all of those who sleep in Jesus and all of those who place their faith in him. The resurrection is God's stamp of approval that he has accepted the payment. Therefore, there is hope beyond this life. And there's good news from the graveyard. That's why the resurrection matters this Sunday, and it matters Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday from now until eternity rolls through and we see him who we walk by faith now, then face to face. The resurrection matters. And as we stand around the room this morning, I'm going to ask you a very simple question. Has the resurrection faith that has changed the lives of others become yours this morning? Has there ever come a time when you've met the Master face to face, when the empty tomb reminded you that you have an empty heart and you need someone to fill that God-spaced void in your heart? This morning, if you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ, can you allow us the privilege of doing what that first century church did as it went around all throughout Asia Minor and the Roman Empire, saying to him, there is a living Lord who longs to be your Savior, who longs to be your Lord and to rescue you from the dead. And he paid your penalty that you owe so that you might have life eternally. If you've never met the Master this morning, we would love to introduce you to him this morning on this Easter Sunday in which we celebrate the resurrection. But also this morning, I believe there are people in this room who are looking for a church home. And this morning you sense maybe this is a place where God would meet you week after week and teach you the things of him, of eternal life. And looking for a church home, God's brought you here this morning. Maybe this morning you need to walk the aisle and say, I believe this is a place where God would meet me and I want to join this fellowship. We invite you to come. Maybe you're a child of God. You've been walking the guilty distance. And this Easter you're reminded again that the resurrection matters. And it matters the lives that we live. And maybe you need to come and kneel at the altar. Maybe you need to take someone by the hand. Maybe you'd ask your spouse to pray for you. Maybe you need to ask someone near you, would you pray for me? I've been walking a guilty distance, and I just want God to renew his resurrection work within me. There will be deacons down front that would love to pray with you. We have a saying around here, no one prays alone. You'll meet Jesus at the altar, and you'll meet friends who will pray with you. Whatever decision you need to make, maybe some of you in here have never been baptized. You've never symbolized your own resurrection from the dead like Cassie did this morning. And you realize that you need to be obedient to Christ in doing that. Whatever decision you need to make, make it this morning. Don't wait for tomorrow. Today's decisions never get made tomorrow. They need to be made today. Father and God, this is your invitation. Do with it as you see fit. And by the power of the living God, the Spirit of God, would you draw men and women to decisions for your kingdom's sake, for your glory and for your name. We love you and we thank you for your people and hope. As we give this invitation, Father, that the Spirit of God even now is moving as we sing in Jesus' name. Amen.